Matthew chapter 5, amen. And look what it says here. This is one going to help you. I promise you it's going to help you. Amen. Blessed are you, everybody got it? When men cast insults at you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely on the account of me. Verse 12 says, rejoice and be glad. For your reward is great. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. I want to talk about this morning kingdom attitude for when you're going through. A kingdom attitude for when you're going through. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, I'm going to make it through this. With the right attitude. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your promises. We thank you for what everything that has been done here today, from the choir singing to the drama to Chris praise miming. And Lord, we just want to thank you now for the preaching of your word. Touch anybody here today who's going through something. Lord, I believe that the word is going to transform them. It is through preaching that we are transformed. It is through preaching, God, that our foundation gets stronger and stronger. Now, Lord, you are the power source. I'm just a vessel. Fill this broken vessel, Lord, and allow me to preach with clarity, conviction, and power. We love you today, and we thank you. Thank you, Lord, for dying on the cross for us. Thank you, Lord, for your birth. As we remember, Lord, as we wait in the Advent season, Father God, we're waiting and anticipating to celebrate your birth on Christmas Day. Would you bless us now to keep with a mind of preparation, a mind of waiting, God. We love you. We thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank God. You may be seated. In the presence of God. Amen. Thank you, ushers. Amen. Amen. Kingdom attitude. Amen. For when you're going through. Amen. Amen. I thought that would help you. Amen. Throughout this series, we've been talking about attitudes that belong in the kingdom. And we've talked about gentleness. Am I right? We talked about humility. We talked about having an appetite, an attitude that desires spiritual things. Last week I told you that we also ought to have an attitude of compassion, an attitude of honesty. Amen. An attitude that promotes peace. And I also told you lastly that we need an attitude of an overcomer. But in looking at all of these attitudes, the one thing that really stood out to me is that sometimes the reason we have an attitude is because of things that happens to us. Jesus knew that things would happen to us. I want to say to somebody here this morning, being part of the kingdom sets you apart, but it also sets you apart as a target for satanic activity. For you can be with your spouse having a good day, amen, or with your children and having a good day, or at work having a good day, and all of a sudden, Satan will throw a fiery dart at you, and all of a sudden, your attitude changes. Do I have anybody? You can be in school and something may happen. You can be a young person and all of a sudden something comes your way and you start going through, and it's amazing how we transform in a blink of an eye. Do I have anybody? I've been there before where my attitude changed immediately when somebody says something to me or somebody suggests something to me or somebody corrects me, all of a sudden, amen, my attitude changes, not for the better, but for the worse. And so I believe through the preaching of God's word that we can change our attitudes. Listen, when you're working with people, you'll see the real attitudes come out. Come on, somebody. When you start working closely with people and getting to know them, you'll see what type of attitude they possess. And as much as I want a kingdom attitude, sometimes it just seems like I can't get it. Anybody with me? You try to be gentle. You try to be kind. You try to, amen, to be that bigger person. Come on, somebody. And all of a sudden, you find your attitude changing because you don't like what's being done to you. But may I say this to you? If you allow circumstances, situations, and people to change your attitude for the worse, it means that they have control of you. Are you with me? If you change at the blink of an eye, it means you wasn't really what you portrayed to be. Ouch, amen, or thank you goes right there. Amen. And what I find is that Jesus is telling his disciples here that I know it's going to be tough. You stepped off of Satan's ground and you stepped on holy ground. But holy ground does not mean that it's going to come, amen, with always getting your way. With always, blessings and with always feeling blessed all the time. But kingdom life comes with kingdom troubles. I'm with you. Anybody with me? Amen. And I told you that our attitudes influence our behavior. And it makes sense to me that I need to have the right attitude, especially when I'm going through. May I say this to you? When you're going through, that's when you get to see what kind of person you are. Come on, somebody. Some of us are strong in character. We have different personalities in this room right now. Some of you can take a hit and not respond right away. Some of you can take a hit and you gotta explode right away. You gotta tell it right now. You can't wait. You can't wait till you get to the car in the comfort of your car, right? Amen. You can't wait because you just gotta get it. I got to say it now. Are you with me? Some of you can take it and say, all right, I'm gonna get you later, huh? You know what I mean? And you're brewing around that thing and you're thinking about that thing and you're like, man, yeah, uh-huh. Mm-hmm. You're smiling. You're smiling on the outside. But boy, you turning on the inside. Boy, inside is like, whoo, Lord have mercy, Lord help me. And listen, here's how I know you're mad. Because what you do next, you don't do it with gentleness. You do it all rough. You find what I'm saying? You're smiling, but you're rough. How you going to smile and be rough at the same time? You find what I'm saying? You reserve. What's wrong, none? What's wrong, none? You all right today? Yeah. And look, you got that look on your face like, and you go back to smiling. You say, I'm going to wait till later to deal with that situation. But here's what I want to tell you. The longer you wait, the more the devil is, watch this, setting up more things in your mind, making you think, amen, a whole lot of things that weren't even there. Are you with me? So that's why it's important to exercise Matthew 18, where you go right to the person and say, can we have a conversation? And let me say this to you. Don't get mad when somebody pull you to the side and say, let's have a conversation. You know why? Because maybe you didn't check your attitude, amen, but they're doing the biblical thing to bring you to the side in grace and in gentleness Amen. So that you can receive the information that they're trying to give you. Because may I say this to you about attitude? Sometimes you don't even know what you just did. Listen, it takes somebody on the outside to look at you and say, you tripping. Turn to your neighbor and say, take somebody on the outside. That's for real. That's for real. Come on, somebody. That's for real. That's for real. Y'all don't want to hear me today. That's for real. That's for real. Now watch this. Jesus is coming to the close of his, his discourse on kingdom attitude. But what I found to be interesting in verse 10, he says, blessed are those who are persecuted, right? For the sake of righteousness. Now, the persecution that he was talking about there was general persecution, right? But this second beatitude in verse 11, where we're going to poke around right now, watch this. The second beatitude is of persecution, speaks about a specific form of persecution. It's the form of persecution, watch this, that comes from people. It's verbal assaults. That's what verses 11 and 12 is dealing with. Verbal assaults. Listen, you may not be able to put your hands on me, but you can kill me with your words. You can assassinate me with your words. Your words can cut me so deep that I will go on for the rest of my life. I talked to a preacher the other day that told me that he was, when he first started church, I don't think he'd be mad if I tell his story, but it goes right here. Amen. He told me when he started church, he was in shape and he looked good, and you know what I mean? And his this deacon in the church, his wife had a crush on him. All right? And so the deacon knew that his wife had a crush on him. So what he did was he went over to him and said, hey, man, you don't have to be so full of yourself. You don't have to take care of yourself like that. You know, God's not interested in that. And because of those words, this man has let himself go, gain about 200 pounds, stop working out, stop going to gym, because a negative seed was planted in his mind that God wasn't interested in him taking care of his temple, because somebody had an agenda. I'm going somewhere with this. You see, words can kill. Words can alter people's destiny. But let me tell you something about attitude. Attitude and words, when they combine and they are negative, amen. Can I tell you something? It can affect the people around you. But here's something else I want to share with you. When you're going through trials, when you're going through circumstances, when you're going through storms in life, you and I have to understand that we need to have the right attitude. He goes on to talk about an attitude when you're going through. And so I want to give you about four or five things today that you need to know about when you're going through. Attitude, kingdom attitude for when you're going through. Verse 11, it says, blessed are you, watch this, when people insult you. I don't know about you, but I've been married long enough to know, amen, that even though I love my wife, amen, sometimes our conversations are not edifying. Insults go back and forth. Amen. I just want to tell you, it's going to happen. Amen. But Jesus says something here. He says, blessed are you. Now, I don't understand, how can I be blessed because of this? I don't understand how to be calmly happy when you are throwing insults at. Anybody here been insulted lately? Verbally? I'm talking about some verbal stuff. Amen. And I want to say this to you this morning. Amen. You got to know what type of attitude you need. Because as long as you live, you will face insults from people. So the first thing I want to tell you, you ready for this? First thing you got to do, you ready for this? This is going to bless you. This is going to bless you. Going to bless you. Ready? Always keep your composure. The word for insults there means to defame, to reproach, or to abuse someone with words. But one of the things that you cannot forget when you're being insulted, amen, is don't forget who you are. Don't forget who you represent. And don't forget whose kingdom you're a part of. You see, the word means to belittle someone. Some people, they're so weak that they got to use words to break you down. They're so weak, they're not strong enough, to do anything to affect any change. So they use their words. Husband and wives, I want to tell you something. Listen, don't use words to hurt, because I want to tell you something. It damages after a while. It destroys after a while. And so one of the things that you have to learn to do, and this is something we got to learn to do, we have to learn how to keep our composure. Turn to your neighbor and say, you got to learn how to keep your composure. Don't let anybody transform you. Stay cool. Stay cool. Be filled with the Spirit. Listen, don't let anybody take you out of character. If you learn and practice how to keep your composure, I wish I had somebody. If you learn how not to respond, listen, if you allow words to affect you, just think what actions would do. Just think when real stuff come flying your way in life. Just think about that for a moment. And so if you're going to, this is the first part of this attitude that you're going to need when you go, especially when you're going through. When you're going through, you got to learn how to stay calm. How to be composed. The Bible says, I believe it's in the book of 2 Thessalonians. It says, don't let anything cause you to lose your composure. Be it letter, be it word, be it something, speech. Don't let anything cause you to lose your composure. And sometimes, saints, I see it. Because we've had enough. But remember, it's just words. And watch this, I'm going to show you something. Here's what he says next. He says, blessed are you when people insult you. People insult you. See what that means? It's going to happen. It's amazing how people can hurt other people. But if you walk around with a kingdom attitude and say, you know what, I'm going to lose my composure. You keep talking. I'm going to let you talk. I'm going to say cool. Because watch this. If you move me, you control me. If you move me, watch this. You're moving me around. You're controlling me. You're moving me in the direction that you listen. And when you say what you say to me, and I end up where you wanted me, then you smiling and you're happy. But if I keep my composure, if I smile, if my smile on the outside is matching up the smile on the inside, come on, somebody, then you have no control. I'm sorry, no more. I'm taking back control. Are you with me? Turn to your neighbor and say, take back control. You got to take back control. Take back control. Take back control. Look what he says next. He says, blessed are they you when people insult you, right? People. This is the part that really got me. And look what they do next. They persecute you. This is what it means. Repeated acts of enmity. Watch this. Ready for the next point? This is where we all get tripped up right here. You ready? You ready for this point? Don't take it personal. Your fight is not against flesh and blood. It is against a spiritual mafia that has spiritually set you up. Boy, y'all should have shot right there. Listen, if it's people driven, then you will know if it's people driven. If it's, watch this, that it's not them, but it's who's working behind them. So in other words, when you attack me in the kingdom, I ought not to take it personal, because really you're attacking the God in me and not me. I'm going somewhere with this. See, listen, if you have a kingdom mind, how many of you in the kingdom of God? Let me see all the kingdom people. So why you take it personal then? When I told you that we fight not against flesh and blood, it's not Sister Hunt. And I always tell, baby, it's the devil. It's the devil, right? You know what I mean? It's a spiritual sin. My baby said, no, some things you have to own up to. And I get the can of, some things I get. Some things I'm responsible for, but I'm responsible for what comes out of my mouth. But sometimes, because of this little thing, you ever get that thing inside? That you got to say what you got to say. Come on, somebody. This thing kind of moves me to say. Yeah, are y'all with me? Yeah. Is it right here? You with me? Okay, get amen, amen. Say amen. That's it. Watch this. Watch this little thing inside that causes me to think it, take it personal. And then guess what happens when you take it personal? I'm trying to show you something. When you take it personal, your feelings get hurt. And when your feelings get hurt, it affects your values. When your values are violated, watch this, then you retaliate. So if you start off by keeping your composure and not taking it personal, then guess what? And understand the real struggle. The real struggle, the Bible says, and we know this scripture, it's not against flesh and blood, but principalities and powers and wickedness in high places. Satan has been setting us up for a long time, but today we decree it's over. Come on, give God a hand clap of praise. Today, I'm gonna try so hard. I'm gonna try harder than I was before to prove that God's word is real, that I can keep my composure. That, yes, I'm not going to take it personal. Because if I take it personal, watch this, then my feelings is hurt, and then I respond. And how I respond sometimes, amen. 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 Look what he said. Blessed are those who people insult you and persecute you. Now, did Jesus knew this stuff would happen? So what was he doing? He was preparing them. Like he's preparing you and I. Number one, keep your what? Number two? But watch this now. And falsely say all kinds of evil against you. Ready for the next point? See, this is the thing, right? If you know you're right, what you tripping for? So my next point, don't let lies affect you. Isn't it amazing how we take a lie? You ain't nothing. I am something. You sorry. You don't know that. You don't know how sorry I am. I know how sorry I am. You can't tell me how sorry I am. I know how sorry I am. You won't pick up behind yourself. I know. That's the truth. That's true. See, only the things that are true you can get mad about. Isn't it amazing how we allow lies to affect us? Watch this. If you know it's not true, why do you get so upset? Well, you lied on me. So, I mean, dang. Satan lied on Jesus. Satan lied to Jesus. Satan lied to Eve. Come on, somebody. And guess what Satan is doing now? He's lying to you and I. Could it be that you're building or destroying things in your life based upon a lie? That you have believed all this time about yourself. I can't go back to school. I can't finish college. I can't move out of this ghetto. Amen. I can't move out of this apartment. I wish I had somebody this morning. Satan may have lied to you because somebody falsely accused you or said some stuff about you. You're not smart enough. You're not good enough. Greater is he that's in me than he. That's the truth right there. I am more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. Are you with me? Why do we allow lies to affect us? I mean, seriously, we allow stuff that's not true. You know it's not true. What you talked about, what you came up for prayer for, you know it's not true. Devil's trying to tell you, you can't do this on your own. Yes, you can. Oh, look at everybody else's marriage. It's falling apart. That ain't your marriage. Every preacher's kid gonna end up, you ain't this preacher. Come on. Amen. You can't succeed, really? Maybe because you're not succeeding, you want me to believe your lie and live on your lie. I'm not going for that no more. I got a new attitude now. When I'm going through, I got a new attitude now. I'm going to keep my composure. I'm not going to believe that lie. Are you with me? I'm not going to let lies affect me. But watch the next part of this verse. This is why I love expository preaching. He says, because of who? So here's the next point you got to remember. You ready for this? Don't forget why you're going through. If you realize that half of your battle is because you know Jesus, half of your battle comes because of him. Satan sees you reading your Bible. He sees you praying. He sees you trying. He sees you getting better. He sees you overcoming. And guess what he does? He attacks you through people. Hey, you're a hypocrite. You don't need to read that Bible. You talking about you know that Bible. You don't even live it. Going up in church preaching every Sunday. Talking about you a deacon. Talking about you standing there singing in the choir. You nothing. You might as well just put the Bible down. And you're like, okay. Sure, yeah. If it's that easy to convince you, listen, don't you go out without a fight. Don't you go out without a fight. Listen, don't you lay down and die. You ever notice every time you try to pick up your word? You get sleepy. You get hungry. That's the time you got to go to the toilet. I'm just saying, all kinds of stuff happen in the midst of you trying to get serious about God. And so what you got to realize, and then here come the abusive words. And that just discourages you even more to the point where you're like, you know what, forget it. Man, if Satan has that much control on you, something wrong. He didn't want you here today. You think he wanted you in here today? He didn't want you to hear this. Watch this. Don't forget why are you going through? You're going through because of Jesus. You're going through because he lives in you. You're going through because the King lives in you. You're going through, you're facing trials and circumstances and situations because Christ lives inside of you. And everywhere you go, you ought to let your light shine. And listen, if your light is shining, you will attract, come on somebody, flies. Why do you think they make fly zappers? They make it out of light because they run to the light. But you got to have your thing on. You got to be plugged up with the Holy Ghost. So when they approach you, zap. When they approach you, zap. When they approach you, zap. I'm not talking about one of them fruit flies. I'm talking about zap. I'm talking about you got so much power in you that you can overcome that nonsense. Are you with me this morning? I know why I'm going through. I'm going through because Jesus hung, bled, and died on Calvary's cross. I want to talk to somebody here today. It's not because of who you are. It's because of who you belong to. And because you belong to the King, that's the reason why you're going through. But now that I got that information, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I shall rejoice. Greater is He that's in me. He says, if I keep my eyes fixed on Him, He will keep me in perfect peace. Oh, I feel my help coming. I know why I'm going through, John. I know why. I know why I had a heart attack. Are you with me? But watch this. When you know why you're going through, and then when you go through with the right attitude, God gets the glory. Watch this. Satan gets none. And then it proves that he's a liar. So the next time you're going through, stop for a minute. Get out of your feelings. Because if you go off at the lady in the drive-thru, it proves, watch this, that you belong to somebody else. See, when we go off on people, they may not even know you in church, but it should be a conviction upon your heart to say, I was just in church. Woo. See that? They may not be watching. They may not even know who you are. But there should be a conviction. Listen, sometimes I go in the store and people just got this mean, nasty spirit. Or I call on the phone, just this meet. The other day I called American Airlines, United Airlines. The man on the other end, he was the lady. First it was the lady. The lady was just so rude to me. I said, I tell you what. This is how I said it too. I was so proud of myself. I said, one win for Jesus. I said, okay, no problem. May I please speak to your supervisor? Well, we ain't got no super. I said, you do have a supervisor, but could I please speak to her, please? You understand what I'm saying? I kept my what? Composure. So we're going to practice that, right? We're going to practice that, right? But here's what I understood. I understood that the reason why I was about to go through, amen, because God was finna get the glory, come on somebody, from the story. And so rather than look, and sometimes I got to be careful, especially when I call AT&T, because they got the name of the church on there. So they know I'm calling about the church account. So I had to be real cool. Back in the day, I didn't handle it so well. But you know how they look up your account and see the Vision Church. Oh, okay. So it's the pastor going off on me. You know what I mean? Satan always tries to make you look like a fool. And you got to be careful on the phone with your coworkers, especially at home, Friday with my kid, Apple, you know what I mean? I'm just saying. The devil was just trying, but let me tell you why the devil was trying to get me on Friday. Because somebody was going to get saved here on Friday night. And somebody did get saved here on Friday night. Now, had I gotten thrown off by all the things that Satan shot at me on Friday, come on somebody, that soul would have not been saved because I would not be in the same mind frame of mind when I'm going through. I'm about to close here. I want to say this to you. Amen. See, what Satan wants to do is stop what God's trying to do in your life by allowing you to respond, by causing you to respond in such a way that it brings no glory to Him. Are you with me? Now watch this. Let me go on verse 20. Verse 12. I'm sorry. Man. Okay, y'all early today. Okay, good. Look what it said. It said, rejoice. That's my cue. And what? Now, hold on a minute. I don't know about that. This hard stuff. All right, I'm just saying. He said, rejoice. Hold on. That word means calmly happy. To be well off. That's what that word means. To be exceedingly glad. Christ didn't say pray, which would have seemed a more logical thing to do when people are insulting you. Doesn't that make sense? This word means to leap for joy. To show one as leaping and skipping around the church. I'm skipping around. I'm going through. That ain't what he's saying. He's saying, this is what he's saying. He's saying, I want you not to allow people to affect you. So my last, this point here. Don't think it's impossible to have joy when you're going through. See, immediately when something negative happens, we lose it. Don't think it's impossible to have joy when you're going through. Think about the rewards. Look what he says in the next part of the verse. For your rewards, oh man. You want a reason, want to know why you're going through? Yeah, but Satan wants to steal your rewards. Satan wants, listen, silver and gold, we just talked about. We just saw death. Silver and gold, we just heard the song, right? When you leave this earth, you're going to heaven. What you going to have when you get there? I hope so. He says, when you're going through, because here's what the text is telling me. If I don't respond well, I'm losing rewards. He says, for your reward, watch this. That word great means megas. When you go through, the next time you go through and you respond the right way, every time you go through, cha-ching, cha-ching, I didn't cuss you out, cha-ching. I didn't trip, cha-ching. I didn't fall apart, cha-ching. I may not be seeing those rewards here, but he'll reward you here and there. Cha-ching. Every time I didn't curse, cha-ching. Every time I respond right, baby, okay, baby. No problem, baby. And mean it now. I'm not talking about you don't mean it on the inside. Okay, baby, cha-ching. I don't know what you're doing, but I'm stacking up. Cha-ching. You with me? He says, I want you to think, listen, the next time you fall apart, think about your reward. Well, I didn't get that reward then. Now, don't get into that kind of attitude now. Well, oh, well, I failed this time. Well, how many times are you going to fail? Seriously. How many times are you going to keep giving an excuse? Oh, well, blowing it off. You don't even know the value. Oh, man. If you only knew the value of your rewards in heaven, you'll receive crown. You'll be able to walk the streets of gold. You'll be able to be over cities and listen, and do things in the kingdom. But your reward will be, remember, it's a reward for going through. Come on, somebody. So if you put it in that perspective, that God is going to reward me, come on, somebody, while I'm going through and I respond the right way. Listen, there's a blessing after this. There's a blessing after your pain. There's a blessing after bad news. There's a blessing when you're going through. There's a blessing for everything that you go through, not just here, but in heaven. Are you with me? Last thing he says, this is the last thing and I'm done, promise you. For in the same way, watch this now, they persecuted, watch this, the prophets, no, the prophets. See, all who represent God, come on somebody, you think I don't go through, y'all don't understand some of the stuff that I go through. As the preacher. That's why you got to pray for your pastor. That's why you got to keep praying for him. Because Satan, if he can get the head, get the body. Don't pray on me, P-R-E-Y. Pray for me, P-R-A-Y. And when you pray for me, amen, I can bring a word to you so that you can make it on another week. Are you with me? Last point I want to give you. He says, in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you, don't forget that you're not alone in your persecution. Yeah. Listen, when you go through, You are now put into the same category as the prophets before you. Lord have mercy. You're in the same category as Isaiah. You're in the same category as Jeremiah. You're in the same category as Paul. You're in the same category as Hezekiah. You're the same category as David. You're the same category of Moses. You're in the same category as Abraham. You're in the same category of Peter, of James, of John, of Matthew. Come on, somebody. I want to tell you something. You're not alone in this. You listen, somebody else been through what you've been through. But guess what? The difference is we got to keep our right attitude. We ought to rejoice because we're in good company. Because when you're going through, I want to tell you something. The devil wants you to give in and give up, but you got to call on your help. The Holy Spirit is inside of you, but God will give you the strength to overcome. God will give you the strength to start caring how you respond and what you say when you get angry. I want to tell somebody here today that God wants to deliver you. God wants to design a plan for you, but he can't bless you until he transforms you. He can't bless you till you respond the right way. One of the reasons that we don't recognize the goodness of God is that we confuse the means of delivery with the source. Are you with me? When we listen to the radio, listen, we can't do so only because the radio is a method of delivery. There are no drums in the radio. There's no guitars in the radio. There's no equipment in the radio. The radio is only a conduit, a point of contact to bring, come on somebody, the music to you. I want to tell somebody something. You got to know the source. And sometimes, amen, we're going to the delivery and not the source. You got to go to the source for your strength. You got to lean and depend on Jesus. You got to lean on God, on the Holy Spirit, to produce love, to produce joy, to produce happiness. You want to know why? Because about 2,000 years ago, on a hill called Calvary, they marched him up Golgotha's hill. They stretched him wide. They dropped him low. Put him in a borrowed tomb. But early, somebody ought to say early, early Sunday morning, he got up with power to change me, to deliver you. He's a good God. He lives in you. You're going through because he defeated death. You're going through because of him. But thank God that he didn't stay in the grave. Early, I said early, the third day morning, he got up with all power in his hands. Do you know him? Have you tried him? Is he all right? Is he all right? Say yeah. Say yeah. Say yeah. I'm going to have the right attitude while I'm going through. Give God a praise, y'all.